Heavenly Father, please increase our faith this morning as we look to the risen Lord Jesus, as we hear accounts of the eyewitness testimony, as we reflect on who he is, Lord and God. Increase our faith and help us to live for him. And we pray in his mighty name. Amen. Well, I'm not known for brevity, but Trev said the kids are in. You can't go longer than 12 minutes. So somebody set a stopwatch and see how I go. I've tried to structure this a little bit differently to keep me brief. But come and talk to me afterwards if you like. This is such a wonderful passage and I'm by no means going to cover it all. Okay, thanks, Mark. Here's my big point. The resurrection changes everything. The resurrection changes everything. Here are the disciples that very first Easter evening. This is Easter day that the story in John 20 starts out. And they're gathered in a locked room. They're afraid. They're afraid of the Jewish leaders. They're afraid that what has just happened to Jesus, their teacher, their leader, could happen to them. And so here they are in this locked room, comforting one another in their grief and their confusion about what has happened. How could Jesus have died that Friday? And then suddenly, Jesus is with them. Jesus, risen, standing in flesh, right there with them. And the resurrection changes everything. As we briefly think a little bit about this reading, I'm going to do that by focusing on four words within this reading. And here's the first one, peace. Jesus says, peace be with you. Now, at first glance, that just sounds like a nice way of saying hello, right? G'day. Peace be with you. A little bit of a religious way, maybe. But actually, at the very least, it is calming down these friends who no doubt would have got a shock, right? It's Jesus, who was dead last time they'd seen him, now alive, standing in front of them, and walked through a locked door. But actually, there's far more than just calming down these anxious friends that's going on. You know, Jesus came into the world so that sinners like you and me could be friends again with God. So that God's enemies, you and me, the ones who had turned our backs on God and everything that he stood for, could be friends again with God, could be his sons and daughters. Jesus came into the world to make that possible. And on the cross, he finished everything necessary to open that way for us, that we could have true and forever peace with God. That is, Jesus' greeting here, peace be with you, is nothing short of a declaration of the victory that the cross has won. God's shalom, God's peace, the fullness of fellowship and friendship with God are now available in this life through Jesus. This declaration of peace is the very first truly authentic, fullest bestowal of peace in a broken world that there has been since that Garden of Eden. The resurrection, friends, changes everything. Now through Jesus we have peace with God. Well, the second word is about being sent. Jesus says, again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you, he says. The Father sent the Son into the world to make the way for peace, and now the Son sends his people into the world to make him known, to make this way known, to share this good news, to share this hope in a broken and fractured world, that there is peace available through Jesus. You see, friends, God is a missionary God. God's a missionary God. And as his people, he says, we are too to be missionary people, telling the good news, inviting people to come to God through Jesus, doing things like saying, come to the king's banquet. We're going to have a great meal at church. There'll be an opportunity there to hear about the king that God sent. As God sent, and continues to send Jesus through the Holy Spirit to his people. He continues to call us, his people, to go into the world that he loves and to tell of his saving plan, to make Jesus known in a broken and anxious and hurting world. And we who are at peace with God through Jesus are the ones who are sent. We are sent into the world to share the goodness of God that we've experienced because we have peace with God and we're living at peace with God right now. And Jesus points to the empowerment of the Spirit for this mission. We don't go alone. God, the Holy Spirit, poured out at Pentecost, given to every believer in Jesus, he empowers God's church. He empowers his church and calls the lost to follow Jesus. God, the missionary God, empowers us, his church, to be missionaries through his Spirit. That's what Jesus is pointing to here when he says, receive the Spirit, as he says, go into the world and make this good news known. The results of preaching the gospel, they might vary. Some will receive the good news, and some will receive this peace that God has offered and given freely. Some are forgiven, but others don't receive the news, don't accept it, and choose to remain in their sin. But the mission, friends, the mission doesn't change. It's the same, to share Jesus in a world that is desperate for a saviour. Friends, the resurrection changes everything. This gospel is a gospel that is able truly to save a broken and hurting world. And so we are sent into the world to share it. Peace. Sent. The third word, believe. Thomas, one of the 12 disciples, tragically, is not in that room that first Easter Sunday evening. Perhaps he's off getting the food and supplies. Perhaps he's isolating himself in his grief, not sure what to do with himself, so he's just getting out from under people's eyes and going it alone for a while. When he does come back to that room and his friends tell him what has just happened, Thomas is gripped by doubt. In his rational thinking, quite rational, he knows dead people don't come back to life, actually. Dead people stay dead. And so he says, unless I see the nail marks and put my hand in Jesus' side, I will not believe it. I wonder if you resonate with Thomas. I do. We have our seasons of doubt, don't we? We have our seasons of times when the Christian life, the Christian faith is hard and it seems maybe too difficult. It seems maybe too good to be true. And we wonder at times in those seasons of doubt, I wonder if I should just leave it, walk away. Did you notice Jesus' response, though, to Thomas's doubts? It's a week later, and poor Thomas has continued in the depths of his grief for a whole further week when the other disciples have got some hope and excitement and joy. But here they are again the next Sunday, and they're gathered in that same room, same locked room, and Thomas is with them. And Jesus appears again, offering that same peace. Peace be with you. But did you notice Jesus' special concern for Thomas? He had clearly heard Thomas's doubts. He knew Thomas's struggle, and he cared about it. He cared about Thomas's doubts, and he cared about Thomas in the midst of them, and he met him right there. He says to Thomas, look, put your hands here. Put your hand in my side. Thomas, stop doubting. Believe. Which Thomas does with his emphatic declaration at that point, my Lord and my God. Jesus met Thomas right there with special concern for him. And even as he did so, he had a word of encouragement for all of us who would come afterwards. Did you notice that? Who, for all of us, who all of us have times of wrestling with doubt, and yet We haven't seen as Thomas did. We haven't seen Jesus like Thomas did. And yet Jesus says for us, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. You know, friends, we can believe without having seen, precisely because Jesus' life and ministry and resurrection has been faithfully recorded for us. Did you hear that in John's purpose statement that came next, straight after Thomas's account, my Lord and my God? John tells us Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which aren't recorded in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Friends, our position is not inferior to Thomas, to Thomas's view. These things that we are reading this morning were written so that we would see Jesus and believe in him. For the first time, maybe, or for the thousandth time. Friend, if you are wrestling with doubt today, don't let that doubt disqualify you for faith. Remember Jesus' special care for Thomas in his doubts. Having times of doubt does not mean you are sinning. It means you're human. I say that again. Having times of doubt does not mean you are sinning. It means you are human. We all of us experience those seasons. So don't let those doubts disqualify you. Instead, let them spur you back to the two best resources we've been given to answer our doubts: God's Word and Christian community. Stop doubting and believe, Jesus said to Thomas. That is, in a season of doubt, don't just let the doubts win. Don't just let them go unanswered. Let the doubt drive you to action. Let the doubt drive you to make a choice, to look again at this eyewitness account written so that we might believe. And friend, don't do it in isolation. Again, I wonder if that's part of what Thomas did get wrong, that he's off isolating in his confusion and grief and doubts, instead of being with the Christian community that God had given him and he gives to us as well. I wonder how much do we miss because we're isolating, or because church isn't the priority it should be for us to be at. Perhaps the very word that we needed to hear today, God has provided for us, but we missed it because we weren't there. Friend, doubts don't disqualify us, but in doubting, we do have some choices to make, to look again at God's word, and to draw nearer, nearer into Christian community, because that's how the risen Jesus calls us to answer our doubts. Stop doubting and believe. The last word is the word life. This is written and given to us that we may believe and have life in Jesus' name. The purpose for which God sent Jesus into the world was that we can have peace with him, that we would live with him forever and live the full self that God has made us to be now and ultimately into eternity with him. Our good and gracious King, he saw our need. He sent his Son to do everything necessary to pay for that need, to heal that need, to forgive us and bring us to wholeness. And God's plan for you and God's plan for me is nothing short of life. Life to the full. And friends, the resurrection changes everything. Because the Saviour is able to defeat death. He is truly able, therefore, to give us life. So trust him and receive the life that he has for us. Peace. We have true shalom, true peace with God now in Jesus, because the resurrection changes everything. We are sent. Just as God sent Jesus, now he sends us into the world to make Jesus and this peace known. The resurrection changes everything. Believe. Don't let your doubts go unanswered, but rather use them to help you to dive into the evidence for Jesus all the more, to go deeper with him, to look again at him, and to do it with the people that he has given us to do life with together. Stop doubting and believe, because the resurrection changes everything. Life. Remember what God has saved us for. Life, and life to the full. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.